Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Spark Show, just checking in, kind of doing a practice podcast, kind of getting back into the swing of things. We got the Arnold Palmer Invitational coming up, Players Championship coming up after that, and then we get back into a normal golf season, hopefully, with the Masters back in April, which will be nice having the Masters that close together back to back, but we lost a few months last year and we're going to get those back. The course for the Arnold Palmer Invitational 2021, Bay Hill Club and Lodge, same place it has always been at, in Orlando, technically Bay Hill, Florida, par 72. I had 7,400 and something yards the last few years, and then I saw 7,381 this year, so it's going to be right around 7,400 yards. Long carries into the greens, so long iron play is critical at this spot. A lot of water, probably half the holes, almost half the holes have water on them. Over 100 total bunkers. So you're going to see something like last week at the concession. There's trouble. There's trouble, and it is hard to keep a lead here. There's a lot of greenside bunkers as well, too. Just dicey situations you can get yourself into. The rough can get a little bit long. Weather can make this pretty treacherous. The greens are going to be Bermuda again, obviously being in Florida. They're going to be quick Bermuda greens. Not quite as small as we had last week. So strokes gained around the green. When you have a smaller green set, strokes gained around the green usually comes into play a little bit more. But this week, not so much because you can hit the greens a little bit easier. In the shortest par three, is right around 200 yards. So again, to reiterate it, long iron play is very crucial this week. The key stats are pretty basic that correlate to this course. Tee to green is going to be on every course. Approaching the green is going to be on every course. But approaching the green got a little bit of a bump here. Bogey avoidance is big, and it might even have gotten a little bump here because of the trouble that you can get yourself into. And then birdie or better is always on there. And then par 4 scoring is big. Par 5 scoring took a little bit of a step back, and par 3 scoring took a little bit of a step up. But I think that just goes to show the importance of your mid-range game on this course. Key stats that are unique to this course that get a little bit more weight this week are greens and regulation being one, and I think the most important, proximity, which is in that same realm. Proximity kind of hinges on some other stats. It's kind of a misleading. The strokes gain metrics helped put everything into perspective a little bit, and then the proximity can be misleading because if you're laying up a lot, you're going to be further proximity to the hole. That doesn't mean you're a worse player at hitting into greens. It just could mean that on average you hit from further back. So it's kind of a tough one to really weigh, but this week proximity gets a little bit of a step up. So you have to be accurate into these greens to score well. And I think if you look at the previous winners, and people who do well here typically are just good tee to green guys that give themselves scoring opportunities on the regular. The field this week, we went from a World Golf Championship, Workday Championship, that was a much smaller field, but we're still with an invitational status on this. We're at about 125 golfers, I believe. So it's still a small field, but there is a cut this week, so that'll be a little bit different. And being wedged in between that World Golf Championship and the Players Championship next week, a lot of guys decided to take this week off. It's usually kind of a mediocre field, but I think this year in particular, it's kind of watered down. But there's still some saucy picks to be had here. My DFS strategy for making lineups and whatnot in DraftKings, FanDuel, with a top-heavy field like this, Rory has looked good here. Bryson has looked good here. Those are your two highest-priced golfers. And then it kind of, you know, you have some decent people right underneath that, Victor Hovland. And, you know, it's not real sexy up there, but it drops off pretty quick after those top two. Rory's done well. Bryson's done well. But I don't know if I want to put enough weight into these guys because of their big price tag this week. I would rather just dip back and take a lot of guys that are, you know, in the 8,000 range, because if you go with those top guys, then you're really kind of handicapping yourself further down. And, you know, it's such a troublesome course that I don't want to rely on deep value sleepers to kind of come through here, because I feel like you just need, you need a solid all-around group to get you into this weekend to win you money in daily fantasy lineups. So I like to go a little bit more balanced. Smaller field, so in tournament play, there's going to be more duplicated lineups than you would normally see. So to leave money out after you have made all of your picks, like maybe you have, you know, $7,900 left for your last golfer, and instead of taking a guy that's 79, 78, 77, you take a guy that is 68. So you leave close to $1,000 out there, and that would ensure that there's probably a less likelihood that somebody else in that big tournament pool has the same lineup that you have, especially for like a, you only can enter one lineup into this tournament play. So those are some things to kind of consider when you're at an invitational with a smaller field. So now we'll get into the kind of betting and just picks segment. I'm going to do it a little bit differently. Like I said, I'm kind of just practicing for this one and workshop and things. I'm going to do my write-ups and my podcasts a little bit differently than I used to and just kind of see what feels right. But I'm just going to kind of go through the lineup and tell you my, you know, first thought on everything. Like, I look at Rory and I look at Bryson right away, and they both have... Rory's been a killer on this course. Last 4 years, fifth place last year, sixth, won it, and then fourth before that. So he's been a monster. I feel like a lot of people are going to pick him. If you want to pick him, you have every reason in the world to pick him here. And then he was sixth place last week. So... yeah, no fault there. The week before at the Genesis, he was 111th place. So that up and down, Bryson, same tournament, 84th place. He kind of battled back, had a bad round. Last week, he was 22nd. Bryson's got two top fives in the last 3 years at this course, too. So either one of those guys, if like Rory, I feel like could be a very popular play, because of how well he's done here. And then I think Bryson could be a little less popular, but still a good pivot play for people trying to kind of hedge against the popularity that Rory's going to get this week. So I don't blame anybody for starting at that spot and then making your lineups for the, from there. But I just don't trust either one of those guys right now for whatever reason, just because they both kind of tend to be a little sporadic. So I'm just going to fade those two right from the get-go. That could screw me over this week, But that's just my gut feeling. And then Hovland, right underneath that. Second place last week. Fifth place the week before at the Genesis. Overseas, sixth place at the Saudi International. Second place at the Farmers. Did he play at the Saudi? That's what I have. I have sixth place at the Saudi. Hopefully that's not wrong. Second place at the Farmers Insurance Open right before that. So Victor's been killing it too. But you look at his last 2 years, his only 2 years at this course, in this event, 42nd, 40th. Meh. You know, that's not exactly what I want to see from a guy that I'm about to spend $10,600 on in DraftKings. So I might even dip below Vic. Patrick Reed, oh boy. Ninth last week, he won the Farmers. I don't like Patrick. I'm going to fade him. He's up and down, too. Like, he could easily win this, and nobody would bat an eye at it. But he's so up and down week to week that I'm not going to touch him at this price tag. Tyrrell Hatton won it last year. That's kind of my cutoff for these top guys. You could pick a name out of a hat with these top four, top five guys, and run with any of them and be pretty solid. But I think Hatton, because of his price tag, is the one that I would roll with out of this group here. If not him, I would skip Vic and Reed and then go to DeChambeau and McIlroy. But I just feel weird that Hatton might go back to back here. He did win a few weeks ago. He's in good form. I wouldn't mind rolling with him again. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 11th place last week, 5th at the Genesis. Last two times here, top 10s. Everybody from here at Matthew Fitzpatrick's spot, he's at 98, so he's the first guy under 10,000. Any guy from here to Sam Burns at 84,000, you could, 84,000, 8,400, you could sit there and make a case for every single one of these guys because they all have top fives at this course, top fives recently. Matthew Fitzpatrick, two top tens, a second place in 2019 here, top five at the Genesis. Right underneath him, Sung Jae-im. Top three, or third place and third place, back-to-back in this event. Decky could be a tournament play here because he was 15th last week, and then he's been mediocre before that. He was 56th in this event last year, 33rd, 49th, 45th, and then 6th in 2016. So he's kind of, you know, one of the bigger names in this field, but not a real sexy pick. So I could see him going low-owned and being a good pivot play in this area. Right underneath him, Jordan Spieth. I don't know when the last time Jordan's played this event or if he ever has played this event. I can't. In the last 5 years, he hasn't played it. His last three events, though, on tour, he's starting to look like the Jordan Reed of old. Jordan Spieth of old. 15th at the Genesis. 3rd at Pebble Beach, 4th at Waste Management. So I could see him getting a little bit of a play here too, but I don't trust him because he's one of those hothead type of golfers, and this is a course with a lot of trouble on it. So like he hits the water once, twice, and I could see him just checking out mentally. So I don't want Spieth. Jason Day, withdraw last year, withdraw 2019, so he could be looking at a three-peat for a withdrawal. We haven't had a Jason Day withdrawal in a while, and he's looking for the three-peat here. If you gave me betting odds on this, Jason Day to withdraw from this tournament, I'd probably take it at 25-1 right now. That's not even a great number. That's you need that number to be like 300 or 400 to 1. But with Jason Day, where he's lining up right now, I could see a third withdrawal from this tournament. But he won it in 2016. Wire to wire winner. He was leading in the first round. And that's the thing about this course. He was the last person to lead the first round and win it. The last 4 years between then, every person that won the tournament was, I think, 3 or 4 strokes back from the first round leader. So this is kind of a tournament you, they all shot in the 60s, I'm pretty sure, 68, 69. So this is a tournament where you can just kind of hang around, and it's hard to keep a lead. So if you can just hold your ground long enough, you can still win. So there's going to be some juicy lines for winners after each round. So hit those live leaders as we go in the tournament, because there is going to be some pretty good odds to be had here, and you just can't hold a lead here very easily because of all of the water and trouble you can get yourself into. So that's going to be one thing to look at. Tyrrell Hatton won it last year at, what was he, 4 under. You can win this tournament anywhere from like 4 under, depending on bad conditions and whatnot, to 18 under. So there's a lot of weird things that can happen. So there's good value in live leaderboards. So keep your eye on that while you're betting. Right underneath Jason Day, we got Paul Casey. Hasn't played here in 3 years. Looks pretty good. 12th place at the Saudi International. Came over to the AT&T Pebble Beach. Top 5. One of his last rounds here was a top 10 back in 2016. I like Paul Casey. I think you can slot him into cash lineups. And Jason Day might be a good tournament play, because people could be looking at it the same way I am, as back-to-back WDs. Nobody's going to want to touch this guy. He's going to be 5% owned here, and he can win. So I would go Jason Day for very risky tournament plays, and then Paul Casey for cash plays. So naturally, Paul Casey's going to withdraw, and Jason Day is going to top 5. Beyond that, Tommy Fleetwood, last time out, 103rd, and then 3rd place, 26th, and 10th place in this event. So Tommy's a guy that he's, you know, a top 40 machine, it feels like, where he's always kind of just there, but never contending for anything. But he's a guy that has that upside and a little bit of volatility. So you, a little bit of a hybrid between the cash lineup and the GPP lineups. Billy Horschel just peaked last week, 2nd place finish, looked rocky before then. Last 3 years here, hasn't been great, hasn't been terrible, but has some good finishes. Finishes top 22 of the last 5 years, 13th in 2017 and 20th in 2016. Horschel, they have him at pretty good odds to top 10, top 20, top 5, and win. So Vegas is kind of on Horschel, so I could see him going pretty highly on this week, and I don't know if I would trust him anything besides tournament plays, but if he's highly owned, I might just fade him. But I like Billy Ho. He's a good dude. Louis Oosthuizen, very up and down, looks great lately. Last 2 times at this event, missed the cut. Louis's kind of one of those scrambling guys that, you know, when things are clicking, he doesn't have any holes in his armor. But things have to be clicking. or else he's just kind of scrambling to make a cut. That's not the kind of guy I want at this spot. I would rather go beneath him to Molinari, who's peaking right now and who has shot really well at this course. Three top tens and a win being one of those in his last four times at this course. And 26 was his one that wasn't a top 10. So I feel like Molinari could be a popular play because of that win equity. And he's starting to peak at the right time, so people think they're getting value. So that's kind of a tough one. Beyond that, you got Will Z, you got Max Homa, Sam Burns. These three guys, you know, young up-and-comers who all have some top 10s recently, a win for Max Homa. You know, Will's never played here before. So that scares me a little bit. And he just seems like he's kind of one of those flavor of the month golfers. Like Cam Champ was that. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. We're in the swing season. He just tore it up. And then since then, he's been down. I feel like Will Z could be there pretty soon. But, you know, he's not a bad play. But I take him in cash lineups right now, even though he hasn't played here, just because of his recent performance. I'd be willing to die on that hill. Max Homa, 24th last year. Coming off of that win, he did have, you know, the win at Genesis. Top 10 before that, 22nd last week, 24th last year. I feel like he's going to be a high ownership kind of guy this week. I might not touch him. Sam Burns hasn't looked tremendous here, coming off a third place finish in his last event at the Genesis. I don't mind Sam. I feel like Sam could be a good pivot off of those guys, because right above him is some decent plays, and then you go below him, Harris English, who I feel like he's been very rocky, but his last year on tour is probably the best year of his career. So he has a ceiling that he could get back up to. He finished top 10 here last year. He's very hit or miss, I would say, from his recent history and his course history. So Harris English, I wouldn't do anything more than a tournament play or, you know, a top five. I'm taking him top five, 10-1 odds. And first round leader, he's been one of the best in this field. I think the second best behind Rory in the last year, year and a half, and first round leaders being up at top and actually being the first round leader. So 66-1 for him there isn't terrible. He's been golfing so bad, but it's like a first round leader bet. You throw it out there, it's not a huge commitment after the first round, it's over. But it pays off 66-1. And he's one of those guys that can just shoot really well in the first round. And he's had a really good last year and a half. So he's got room to bounce back. But I don't have a lot of faith in Harris English. Mark Leishman's starting to peak at the right time a little bit. I wouldn't say peak so much. 39th place last week, 32nd the week before, 18th at the Farmers Open. But at this course, second place last year, 23rd the year before, 7th place the year before that, first in 2017. So Leishman isn't a bad pick to win. I don't know if I trust him enough to put him in cash lineups, and I think his ownership will be too high for tournament plays, GPP plays. But top 5, 11-1 for Leishman, who has been in the top 10 the last 3 out of 4 years here, I think is a pretty good value. Beyond that, Kokrak, 9th last week, looks pretty good. Top 20s the last 2 years here. Kevin Na, same thing, 11th place last year. Doesn't look quite as well on this course. So Kevin Na could be a good GPP play. And so Kokrak, I feel like he's going to get a little bit more ownership. So Kevin Na might be a good pivot off of that. But Kolkrak has looked good here, so you could even throw him in the cash lineups at this point. Kevin Kisner played last week, 41st place. Hasn't played a while before then. And then these are his last five finishes at this event. Last year, 107th. 23rd the year before, 106th 2018, second the year before, 95th in 2016. So he's a freaking absolute roller coaster. So this Kevin Kisner could be a money GPP play, top 5 bet, top 10 bet, 12 to 1, 6 to 1 in those two. I don't know if I trust him to win. But he is a guy, when everything's clicking, his short game is so good. He's a very accurate type of golfer. So this is kind of a course where he could carve his way through it. So there is some value to be had there. Then you go beyond that and it gets a little bit dangerous. Right beyond Kevin Kisner, we hit that drop off into the 7,000s. Cameron Davis, we haven't seen him here, but he's looked decent lately. 14th at Pebble Beach. I can't blame you for taking him, but I don't have a whole lot of faith there. I would rather pivot down to the guys right below here. Taylor Gooch, 12th at the Genesis, 13th last year at the Arnold Palmer. I feel like he's just one of these. He's the perfect green and regulation mold that fits this course. He's just a Florida golf guy. I don't know where he's from. He might be from Florida, but he just seems like a Florida golf guy. 26th in 2018, before that 13th place last year. So I hope too many people aren't onto him, but Taylor Gooch, I'm taking him. You know, probably cash or GPP lineups. I feel like he's great value here. Top 20 wouldn't be bad at plus 350. First round leader. I think he could flirt with it. 70 to 1 odds there. But I don't know if I trust him to win or be first round leader. Just always one of those guys that's kind of flirting with it. So top 10, top 20 wouldn't be a terrible bet there, or slot him into any kind of cash lineup or GPP play wouldn't be a bad idea. Justin Rose. Now this is where it gets interesting, because his last 2 years, he missed the cut last year, 63rd the year before, and then third place finish in 2018, 13th, 2017, 9th, 2016. Obviously, last 2 years, he hasn't been playing the same kind of golf that we've seen from him in the last decade or so. But he has still shown these weird kind of ups and downs. Recent history-wise, we've seen him last week, 54th place, bleh, and then second place at the Saudi International. So he did travel overseas after a couple weeks to play his first event in Florida, but now he's been in Florida for, you know, 2 weeks. And he's a guy that can, you got to have a special kind of oomph when you're a top five or a winner on tour, because it's just, it's a different kind of pressure coming into a round and shooting seven under when it's a Thursday versus when it's a Sunday and you're in contention. So these are kind of the deep value guys that I look for, where Justin Rose is a guy that he's at 7,800 in this somewhat weaker field. His second to last event on tour was a second place finish, and his top 10s in the last 5 years or so blows out any of these guys down in this price range. So he's a guy where if you really want to roll the dice on him, absolutely good tournament play, top five at 14-1. It kind of bounces around in that area. So I'm going to probably take him in tournament plays. I already took him at top 5 and maybe top 10 at 14-1 and 6-1 odds. Just because it's 14-1. In this tournament of this size and kind of a watered-down field, Justin Rose is going to top 5 in 1 out of 7 of these things, and he's going 1-14. I'll take that any day of the week. So I feel like that's – it's one of those things that mentally beats you down, because it's, if you're taking a 14-1 underdog in college basketball or the NFL, it's never going to hit. Why would you take it? But you're taking it in golf, where these guys, you could miss 3 weeks in a row on the same guy at the same number, but he hits it that fourth week, and you're still way in the positive on your profit loss. So that's, you got to keep it in perspective like that. If you find value, just keep hammering that value. That's what I tell myself anyways. So I'm going back on Justin Rose. Ricky Fowler is a guy that's in that territory right underneath him. 3 top 20s in his last 4 times on this course, which are the last 4 years. But he has just, he hasn't peaked like Rose has in recent years. You know, he's just struggled. And until I see him getting in the top 5, I'm not going to bet Ricky. I'm not going to take Ricky in those tournament GPP plays. Even though I like him and I feel like there's a little bit of value to be had there, I need to see it. I need to see him do it a couple times before I roll the dice on it. So, Ricky, we'll put a little bookmark on that. Ricky Fowler, we're going to be back here in a couple weeks, and I'll be talking about him, and I might roll the dice on him. So, keep that one in mind. But his price tag just keeps dropping and dropping. At some point, he's going to get a top 5 or a win. And when you take him, it's going to be, it's going to win you a lot of money. But I just don't see it at this point. Right underneath him, Cameron Tringali has been on an absolute tear. His worst finish in his last 4 attempts on tours, 26th place. He hasn't played here in the last 4 years, but before that was 27th. I don't exactly trust him to top 10 here, but top 20, top 40. He's golfing so well recently. His top 20 is plus 335. His top 40 is plus 120. That is amazing. That's, I give him close to over a 50% chance of top 40 in here, and he's going at plus 120. So that's amazing value there, and I think he's just a plug-and-play for cash lineups this week. The next, we're going to bounce around now that we're in the lower price range. I think Charlie Hoffman's a very up-and-down guy where it's, you know, top 10, top 15 or bust. He has some WDs, you know, a month plus ago, a couple of them. So I don't exactly know what was wrong with those, if he had some kind of back, neck, or something issue where it could kind of come back into play this week. So I don't know if I would trust him, especially because he has so much appeal, because he can get in the top 10, top 20 on a fairly regular basis. So I don't know if I can justify going there, but I wouldn't blame anybody for going with Charlie Hoffman. Brandon Grace just won last week at the Puerto Rico Open. Genesis 20th the week before. Pebble Beach 30th the week before that. So he was getting a little bit better peaking, and then he gets in that weak field and he runs it. I thought, I texted this to my buddies when I was parlaying a bunch of stuff, but I was like, okay, Lucas Glover, Johnny Vegas, Andrew Putnam, Brendan Grace, one of those 4 is winning the tournament. I said that after day 1, and 3 of those guys were in the top 5 after that. So it's like, when you get into, I should start betting those more often, because I feel like when you get into like mid-majors in college basketball or something, that the sports book, they just know less about and they care less about. They put less resources into finding out what the best odds are. There's more value to be had there. So Brendan Grace, good win last week. Might be cursed now that he won the Puerto Rico Open. So I could see that going any which way. You could play him this week. He's only played here once in the last 5 years, and it was a 91st place in 2017. So could be an interesting little tournament play there. Siwoo Kim has looked terrible at this course, terrible lately, but he looked good early on this year. So if you want to pivot there in tournament plays, that's not bad either. Christian Bezuidenhout. I probably just butchered that name. I'm not really sure. 18th here last year, 32nd last week at the World Golf Championship. He played at the Saudi International before that, 53rd. I don't have a real good amount of stats here for him in my system to trust him a whole lot, but I'm seeing in 16 events in his last year, and I say year, I'm doing air quotes over here, because last year with COVID, we missed, 3 months of golf. So when I say the last year of these guys golfing, those 3 months don't exist. So get that in right now. 3 months don't exist. Christian Bezuidenhout in his last 16 events, only including the big events in the European Tour, 62/3 of the time he has been in the top 40. Bezuidenhout could be, I'm going to stop saying his name entirely, but you know who I'm talking about at this point. But he could be a very good cash and tournament play this week because of his people's lack of knowledge on his game at this moment, but how good he's played in the last year or so and at this event. And last week he looked fine after traveling overseas. So he could be a spicy little play right there. A lot of these other guys underneath it, Hadwin has looked solid. Matt Jones, Griot, Poulter, I feel like is probably the best cash play out of this range because there's a lot of good guys right here, and everybody could pivot to low value, low price to find good value, which is what I'm doing this week. And I think a lot of people are going to be scared to pay, the 20th ranked golfer is Jason Kokrak to go up just north of that. And when you can get a Ian Poulter at, 7,300 this week? Yeah, so I feel like a lot of these guys could get low owned, but Poulter, I like him to top 40. These are his last two events. Puerto Rico Open last week, 35th in that week field, but 18th at the Saudi International before that. So he's been traveling around. I'm going to give him a pass on that. Last 5 years here at this tournament, 32nd, 23rd, 41st, 41st, 46th. So he's made the cut all the last 5 years, been inside of the top 50 all the last 5 years, been in the inside of the top 40 the last 2 years. I'm taking him top 40 plus 130 are his odds. So I feel like he's got a 50-50 chance to top 40 in this tournament, and he's plus 130. So that's great. Right underneath him, Brennan Todd, same scenario, plus 120 to top 40. Another guy that he was top 20 last year, top 20 last week at the World Golf Championship. So Brennan Todd is one of those guys that's looked so good in the last year. It's hard not to take him at this price, but I could see any of these guys going pretty highly owned. So tournament cash play, absolutely for GPP. But also, if you can bet legally in your state or illegally, I'm not going to tell anybody, but top 40 for those guys going at plus 130, plus 120. Which means you bet a dollar, you get a $1.30, you get a $1.20 on both those bets. I feel like that's tremendous odds for those two right there. And now it gets a little more sparse because we can look in split hairs the further down that we go. Luke List, he's starting to play a little bit better golf. His last three times here, he's looked really good. So maybe Luke List could be a horse for this course. Maverick McNeely up and down. Benny On, 35th at Puerto Rico Open. He's had a rough go the last year, but before that, his last 2 years looked real solid. So you could, there's a lot of value down here. Putnam, 5th place last week at the Puerto Rico Open. But here's what I'm going with my picks that I would only go in selective tournament plays, but Henrik Stenson, I took him to top five at 28-1 and first round leader at 90-1. He has two top fives at this course in the last 5 years. Obviously, he has looked very mediocre his last 2 years on tour, but he has still finished up and down, and it's one of those things, like I said earlier, to top five and win, and sometimes even first round lead at a tournament, you have to have some kind of Michael Jordan mindset where it's like a Tiger on a Sunday. Like, he's the intimidation factor of playing him on a Sunday, just you're out of the tournament and he's winning. You need these guys that have this mental toughness, that can win tournaments, that can post good scores under pressure. And I feel like Henrik Stenson is one of those guys. He hasn't looked good over the last 2 years, hasn't looked good recently, but he does have several wins and several top fives in the last year. So I feel like at 28-1, like, I don't, this is a roll of the dice, but it's just the top five. That's all I need. Like, there's none of these guys down in this range that have a good enough chance to top five as a Henrik Stenson would. So I'm going him in some tournament plays, little bit of exposure, and then top five and first round leader for sure because of his deep odds. Matthew Neesmith has looked solid. Three top 20s in a row on tour. 70th last year and his only, I think he was an amateur last year, but that was his only time here, finished 70th. So not terrible, has a little bit of redemption here, and he's got a great momentum shift going into this tournament. So I don't mind him. Oh, Zach Johnson. I feel like I haven't played Zach Johnson in a fantasy lineup in probably 3+ years, but he has some decent, if any time is Zach Johnson time, it might be now, but you gotta be a bold SOB to pull that trigger. Joel Damon has looked terrible. 5th place here last year, 103rd the year before. So I don't know if I even trust him in tournament plays right now, just because his trajectory is through the roof, and through the roof in a bad way right now in terms of positive over par scores. But this is the guy that kind of has that top 20, you know, the last 3 years on tour. He's been pretty solid, so this might be one, you know, top 20, 5-1 odds, put a couple bucks on it, and then just absolutely forget about it until the end of the tournament. And then you go, oh, hey, that hit my account. But, you know, there's probably a good 60% chance, 70% chance that it doesn't happen. But I kind of like him at that number. He shows a lot of value. He could even top five at a 28-1 like Henrik Stenson. But it's just, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't want to touch him because of his recent scores. But he's another guy that just kind of catches my eye way down here. And then the last guy that I would probably look at here is Adam Long this far down. Last two tournaments here, his only two times playing here, 24th last year, 10th the year before. His last three tournaments hasn't looked too great on tour, 95th. 68 and 67th. So that's why he's down at 6,400. But Sung Kang is another guy in this book. Sung Kang's got back-to-back top 10s at this event, but hasn't looked great recently. So it's like they haven't looked great, so their price tag is very low. But if you want to get kind of cute with your tournament plays or throw a top 10, top 20 on a guy that's got long odds, this would not be a bad spot because they have looked good in this tournament in the last 2 years. So you can't really shake that. When guys get comfortable on a course, they can take a 3-miscut streak and turn it into a top 10. That's how weird golf is. So I kind of like those guys at deeper value. And this has been a nice little practice run here. I'm doing it a little different style. I'm firing off the hip more than I usually do. And I'm moving around my cheat sheet stuff that I show online with all of my weekly, you know, course previews, betting previews and stuff. So if you really want to dive in at the stats, it gets really confusing. And that's why I do these podcasts. So if people want kind of a distilled version of, well, this hasn't really been distilled because this is getting close to an hour now. But if you want to look at the stats, look at my cheat sheet, go through all that stuff. I'm trying to format everything as best as I can. If you see anything that would simplify it or you need clarification on anything, please don't hesitate to ask me about any of that stuff. So, you know, best of luck this week. One more week till the Players' Championship. March Madness is coming up. We got some big things on the horizon here. So let's find some winners this week. Good luck, everybody. Till next time.